So how about those Chiefs? They're back in the Super Bowl for the third time in the last 4 years after defeating the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. The greatness of Patrick Mahomes is the major reason why, but the play of their defense cannot be overlooked either. Chris Jones had a standout game with two sacks on Joe Burrow. The Eagles' offensive line has been among the league's best this season. The men in the trenches have the 10th best pass block win rate and the second best run block win rate, while also giving up just two sacks in their two playoff games this season. And here to help us break it all down, our girl, Mina Kimes. There she is. Hey, Mina.
Hey, guys. Hello. Good morning.
Morning, morning. Mina, I'll start with you. Tell me this. Will Chris Jones disrupt Jalen Hurts and that Eagles offense?
I think it will. First, I'll say it certainly won't be as easy as it was against the Bengals' injured offensive line. I believe the Eagles have the best offensive line in the NFL. So it's not like he's going to take over the game in the same way. But as to whether or not he can disrupt him, I think he can for a few reasons, Molly. First of which is I do expect Jalen Hurts to have to pass more in this game to keep up with Patrick Mahomes in that offense. He's going to be dropping back a bit more. And over the regular season, as good as the Eagles' offensive line was, Jalen Hurts actually ranks 7th overall in sacks, part because he's holding on to the football, but there will be opportunities there. The other thing that I think is being a little bit overlooked is the improvement of this Chiefs defense, not just Chris Jones. Over the last 2 months, they rank 3rd across the NFL in pressure rate. I think Chris Jones was the best defensive tackle in football this year. I think Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, does a really brilliant job of finding ways to scheme up one-on-ones for him. I expect him to blitz Hurts a lot, too. So it won't be easy for Hurts. Certainly not as easy as it looked at times against San Francisco.
I'm of the mindset that it's going to be more difficult. I mean, listen, Chris Jones is he's a beast. No question about it. 15 and a half sacks this year. We saw what he did this past week, and we understand what he brings to the table. But I do believe that the Eagles have a stout offensive line. As you pointed out, the best in the game of football. I mean, when you think about their running backs, Gainwell, Sanders, Boston Scott, they can run with the football. So that's going to keep the defense honest. You got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the outside, both 1,000-plus yard receivers. I think when you look at the balance that exists within the Eagles offensive repertoire, I just think it's going to be very, very difficult for somebody like Chris Jones to get off, because I think that their coaching staff is going to be smart enough not to go his way and to go away from him as much as they possibly can and to neutralize him, because when you do that, it does hamper Kansas City to some degree. He's not just somebody who's effective. He's somebody that serves the role as a spark plug. He really, really galvanizes them in ways that nobody else on their defense does for them. I take those things into consideration when I'm thinking about what's going to happen in a game of this magnitude. And I'm just of the mindset that the balance of the Eagles offense will be able to neutralize him to some degree somewhat. That doesn't mean he won't get a sack here or there. But the point is, I don't think that he'll have a monster kind of game, because I think that the Eagles are too balanced to let that happen.
Many times we look at the statistics of an individual player and we judge that individual player based on statistics. We look at the game that he had last week, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 4 solo tackles, 5 total. And we say to ourselves, OK, that was a monster game, but we don't account for everything else that goes on. That defensive line is really, really sneaky, as you know, Mina. Kalafis is also playing pretty good ball right now. Frank Clark is playing pretty good ball right now. Disrupt. He can disrupt by affecting those other guys and having those other guys play rise up in above the play of the offensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's not just look at it on his solo numbers. Let's look at the numbers as a whole with the front. Much like you said, Mina, I agree with you. 2 weeks rested with Jalen Hurts. That shoulder becomes better. One of the main reasons that the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line has protected Jalen Hurts in the postseason in those 2 games is because they haven't dropped him back much at all. So when you're going up against a front like this, now the more attempts you drop back, the more opportunities for guys like Chris Jones and Frank Clark to get at him. It's going to be difficult. There's no question about it. I do believe, though, it's not going to be easy to go up and down the field like we've seen Philadelphia do against some of these other teams in the regular season as well as in the postseason. Because one thing I can assure you is this defense under Spagnuolo, for whatever weird reason, struggles during the regular season. And right when you get to about week 13, they start to get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And we saw them against Cincinnati much better than they were in week 5 or 6 or 7 of the season.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, I love that point you made, Key, about the impact he has on the rest of the defensive line. He does create one-on-one opportunities for Clark Dunlap. Mike Dana, who's a defensive end on the Chiefs, lesser-known name, had a monster game against Cincinnati. I'll say this, and this is where I'm getting in agreement with Key. I think game script is going to go a long way towards determining the opportunities for that Chiefs pass rush. Really, against San Francisco, the Eagles dominated, but because San Francisco was so hamstrung on offense, didn't really have to throw the ball. You know, there weren't in that many must-have passing situations. They were able to sort of dictate the pace of the game, which is, of course, exactly where the Eagles want to be. I really think it's going to be a lot harder against Patrick Mahomes because he'll still be able to move the ball on offense. So there'll be more pressure on Jalen Hurts, who, you know, is a brilliant quarterback, had a brilliant season, but did not have a brilliant game throwing the ball against San Francisco.
All right, welcome back into First Take. It's a torn UCL for Brock Purdy. According to our Adam Schefter, the Niners recommending surgery, though the quarterback is seeking a second opinion. Either way, the injury is expected to keep the third stringer turned star out for at least 6 months. San Francisco's first starter this year, Trey Lance, is still recovering from that ankle injury that ended his season, but is expected to be good for OTAs. Jimmy G is expected to leave in the offseason. A non-49ers NFL exec spoke to The Athletic's Mike Sando regarding the 49ers quarterback situation, saying, "I think they will trade Trey Lance to Tennessee, and then they will end up with Brady, and Brady will play 1 year for his home team, and they will have Brock Purdy as the backup. That is the chatter." All right, let's revisit this subject, but this time with Mina. Mina, who do you think's more likely to start for the 49ers next season? Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, or Tom Brady?
Well, you're asking me to choose between Brock Purdy, who has a really serious injury, and it's going to be hard to know the injury timeline for a while because of all the unknowns there. Tom Brady, who I understand the appeal there, but would have to sign a very team-friendly deal to fit under the Niners cap, and they've got a ton of free agents, only 35 guys signed next year. It's possible. I'm just saying he would have to take a lot less money than he usually does. Or Trey Lance, who's, you know, the top draft pick. They traded away multiple first rounders for, who's on the roster and will actually be healthy. So I'm going to pick Lance, not because I think it's necessarily what they should do or even what people in San Francisco want to do, but it seems the most plausible of the three because of health, cap space, and the amount of investment they've already sunk into him.
Well, wait a minute, Mina. It's lovely to see you this morning, by the way. But you don't get away with that. You don't just drop that and just move on. What do you mean it's not what exactly you'd prefer? Well, what is it that you would prefer, Mina? Who would you prefer to see as the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers? You just drop that and then run away from it and go and move on from the subject. Who is it?
It was most likely. Okay. I think ideally, if you're a Niners fan, after watching this team that was clearly a Super Bowl roster felled because of the lack of quarterback, and seeing your quarterback suffer through so many injuries, you would probably want Brady, who has, of course, been relatively durable as the greatest of all time. But you'd have to get him to sign a very team-friendly deal to do so. That's what I think if I was a Niners fan, that's what I would want.
Absolutely, that's what you want. And that's what the San Francisco 49ers front office wants, too. We just don't know about it yet. The reason I think, though, in this situation, Brady makes all the sense in the world. Let's start with the money part of it. He's not making much money relatively to the quarterbacks in the National Football League. So he doesn't, money's not, let's not even worry about the money. Money's, that's an easy deal. We can figure that out. We can fit it in a million different ways. We can give you major incentives if you get us to the Super Bowl. Geographically, there's family. There's all that. Childhood, always wanted to be Joe Montana, childhood favorite quarterback. I got an opportunity to finally wear the gold helmet. On top of that, what is it, Mina, when he left the New England Patriots that he was seeking so badly, a team that was complete? He grabbed Gronkowski. He had a conversation with Leonard Fournette. Well, you don't need the Gronkowski now because you got Kittle. You don't need Leonard Fournette because we got CMC. We got a left tackle that's the best in the game in Big Trent Williams. We got a defense with Bosa in all of the crew back there on that side of the ball that we know what that is. All I got to come in and do is pull the cake out of the oven. Everything else is already there for me. I'm in a perfect situation to be not only arguably the best quarterback ever, because I could just be like LeBron James. I can go from team to team to team and win championships and put them on my back. They're not asking me to throw 50 times a game. What they're asking me to do is be very, very efficient, something I've always done, not turn the ball over. I'm not worried about running RPOs and things of that nature because that's never been my game. I got an offensive, innovative coach that understands, hey, he had a statue in Matt Ryan in Atlanta, so he doesn't necessarily need to go the Jalen route or the Lance route. But on top of that, it allows Purdy to get healthy. It also allows Trey Lance to learn again under a veteran quarterback who is arguably the best to ever do it. Then you worry about Purdy and Trey Lance a year or two from now as they're on their rookie deals to battle it out. Even though you've already given away all those picks for Trey Lance, you got Tom Brady winning you a championship. And as far as Brady goes, as I told Stephen A., and I continue to say this, players like this, they have a disease to play sport. They don't have anything else to do. I know we every year we talk about, oh, we can go do this. He can go join the booth. That's not what he wants to do. He's affected by winning championships. That's why he's still on the fence on whether or not to play. You roll Joe Montana in that meeting. You put John Lynch in that meeting, Kyle Shanahan, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Kittle. You get them dudes to convince him, come ride with us for 1 year, man. Just ride with us. We're going to get it done.
Well, it's a very compelling argument. I don't think anybody could disagree with you based on the three quarterbacks that we're talking about, particularly with Purdy being injured, with Trey Lance struggling early before he got hurt. We got to remember that as well. And here's the key point that we have to bring up. We have an obligation to bring this up. Kyle Shanahan has proven to be an absolutely fantastic coach. He don't have a Super Bowl championship yet. John Lynch has proven to be a fabulous executive, to be honest with you. He don't have a championship yet. This is a championship roster. We all know it. They've been knocking on the door pretty much for the last 2-3 years. And they haven't closed the deal. And so now that we see it from that 4 years, actually. So now that we see it from that vantage point, there is, it's not like job security or job safety is on the line. No, Shanahan and Lynch ain't going nowhere. We're not saying that. What we are saying, however, is that the players ain't the only ones with egos. The players ain't the only one hearing people chirping. And if you're an executive and you're Kyle Shanahan and people are talking about y'all greatness, but y'all know y'all don't have a chip to show for it, that itch has become a bit more pronounced.
Yes.
Especially how you lost to Philly. I felt so sad for them. I mean, listen. There's nobody on earth that should have expected them to do anything. Once that second half rolled around and you can't even throw the football and everybody knows it. The team knows it. I mean, Christian McCaffrey was at the quarterback spot. You cannot throw the football because you literally have no more quarterbacks on your roster. I would advise the San Francisco 49ers after this experience to keep every damn quarterback plus go out and get Tom Brady and be like, yo, y'all, we all in for this 1 year. this 1 year, this is our guy, but damn it, if he goes down, because he is 45, y'all be ready. I'm making sure I have a minimum of 3 to 4 quarterbacks on my roster after what they just went through in Philly. Because if they had a quarterback, who knows what the conversation would be today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Stephen, you make a really good point about the Niners, their motivations, the disappointment. And I think to that point, even though they are pressed for the cap, they got to get a deal done with Nick Bosa, I could see them really mortgaging their future to get Brady under the cap. I mean, Key, you're right. He's probably not going to want a top-of-the-line contract, but he's going to want some money. And I could see the Niners saying, we will do whatever it takes. We'll add void years. We'll push all of the pain into the future to get you now for one legitimate shot. But isn't it incredible that we're talking about the Niners and their quarterbacks and their injury history, and the guy who's in his late 40s might be the one who's least likely to get injured because of the way he plays and what we've seen from him? But it's true. I suspect the Niners see it that way as well.
Yeah, it is injury. AJ, nothing but a number. I thought like last week, Keyshawn, we were talking and Tom Brady was going to be a Jet, right? Now he's going to be a Niner. Last week, he's a Jet. All right, tell me what he's going to be next week. When we come back here on First Take.
To find out about Tom Brady, I make a call. Cute call Tom Brady.
Oh, stop, man. He used you for an interview. he used him up for an interview,
I know,
Molly.
Right? I know that. But that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Why has he never been on First Take? Did you ask him that?
Casual.
No, I did not ask him that. He does watch First Take every morning, though.
But why didn't you invite him on the show?
Well, I leave that to you, Molly. You have,
I don't talk to Tom Brady.
You know, I'm just saying, you know. I mean,
I'm a huge
a call
fan
from
of
you,
Tom Brady.
A call from Molly.
Watching, of course,
I mean,
invited,
a call from Molly might work. I mean, the way you talk and the way you boss
you
me around, the way I look at it is like you could have called him. You know what I'm saying? You need his number.
No, I don't need anybody's help. Can you please go to bump? I just
you're going to have her turning red in a minute, man.
I actually can't turn red physically. My skin doesn't do that, but we can roll the bump. So we can just keep me on camera because that's awkward. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The Chargers season ended in embarrassing fashion after giving up the third biggest lead in the playoffs of all time to Jacksonville. Another disappointing exit for a team with high expectations and an exciting young quarterback in Justin Herbert. It comes former Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, who will take over the job in L.A. Moore spent his first 5 years coaching with the Cowboys, with his first season as quarterback coach and the last four as the O.C. As the O.C., Moore was able to lead the Cowboys to top 10 finishes in points per game three times and even led the league in yards per game twice. Okay, Keyshawn, I know all things L.A. are very close to home for you, so you take this one very personally.
No, I'm not a Chargers fan, so go ahead, though, Molly.
Okay, but you're an L.A. fan, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Go Dodgers, go.
Key. I really do, man.
Is this the right move for Herbert's career?
Well, I think it's the right move for Kellen Moore's career and Herbert's career. Okay, so here's what I say about this. You got a much better quarterback than Dak Prescott as far as skill set goes, the ceiling, everything you think about. It's a loaded offense, okay? When you look at Kellen Moore, a lot of people are going to say, well, he put Dak Prescott in bad situations at times. Yes, that is very true, but he also has shown the ability to coach quarterbacks less than in Cooper Rush, win games with guys like Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott. So imagine what he could do with Herbert. Herbert was in this system his rookie season with Coach Anthony Lynn. Very similar. So learning is not going to be a problem for him. It also helps Kellen Moore out. It also could potentially save Brandon Staley's job. If they do anything more than what they did this past year, the coordinator becomes something special. The head coach has gotten it right. He allows himself to buy some time. And now, all of a sudden, we're having a conversation, a real conversation, as to what Justin Herbert is. He's not all padded stats. If he could just advance past the wild card round, because that's the conversation now. Can he evolve past the wild card round? Can he erase the mistakes in the second half that the offense put up 0 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars? This is all good for him and Kellen Moore as far as I'm concerned.
Let me say this, a couple of things. Don't think for 1 second that it's going unnoticed by me that Mike LaFleur is in New York, didn't do a great job there, and he lands in L.A. with the Rams. And we got Kellen Moore that once again couldn't get it done for the Dallas Cowboys. And he ends up upgrading from Dak Prescott to Justin Herbert. But a guy like Byron Leftwich wins a Super Bowl championship a few years ago. And this brother don't have a job. Don't think that escapes me, because it doesn't. Now let me say this. Keyshawn Johnson, Kellen Moore was on the Cowboys. And okay. you just talked about how him departing the Cowboys was an upgrade. Interesting, Keyshawn.
At the quarterback spot.
Yeah. I'm just telling what you said. All right, I got that. All right, I'm looking at the Chargers offense, and it's amazing to me. I personally believe Brandon Staley should have lost his job. You got a 27-point lead at halftime in a divisional player in a playoff game rather on the road in Jacksonville. 27-point lead, and you blow it. And a half. Oh, hell no. He'd have flew commercial home. He wouldn't have been on the charter. I'm trying to tell you right now. He'd have been gone. All right? So it's interesting that these strenuous efforts have been a display to save his job and to keep him employed. And obviously, some people are going to look at it differently, and they're going to say, all right, he'll be fine. Here's what I'm thinking. You had the number 3 passing attack in the National Football League if you're the Los Angeles Chargers. You had the 30th ranked rushing attack with a guy like Eckler in the field rushing for over 4.5 yards per carry. You had Justin Herbert throw the ball 699 times and barely ran the ball 300 times. So you pass and you didn't utilize your running game. I guess Kellen Moore will exercise some level of balance or implement some level of balance for the Chargers. We'll see what happens. I certainly don't expect them to be worse. I just think he lucked up landing in this particular spot. That's how I feel about it, but it is what it is. I do think that it's the right move in terms of going to Justin Herbert, because I do think Justin Herbert is better than Dak Prescott, and I do believe that big things await him in his future. I don't know about that with Dak.
I like this move for the Chargers because, to me, the biggest problem with the Chargers offense this year wasn't a lack of willingness to run the ball. It was more that they couldn't run the ball effectively. But beyond that, the bigger problem was that they simply refused to push the ball downfield. Justin Herbert has one of the strongest arms in the NFL and consistently over the last couple of years ranked near the bottom of the league in average depth of target. So you bring in Kellen Moore, who did have Dak push the ball downfield more, use more play action on earlier downs, take more shot plays. They were more aggressive. So from that lens, I like it because, to me, it solves the Chargers' biggest problem under Joe Lombardi, which was its inherent conservatism on offense. Now, as far as Moore's record in Dallas, look, it wasn't perfect. There were some inconsistencies, up and downs. Obviously, that final game left Cowboys fans with a bad taste in their mouth. But over his year since 2019, I mean, they finished second in the NFL in points per game offensively, top five in just about every category. So while he wasn't perfect, he was pretty damn good at calling that offense. And if I was a Chargers fan, I would be optimistic about seeing some improvement on that side of the ball.
Well, yeah, then why is he gone, Mina? Why is he gone since he was pretty damn good? Why?
Because the Cowboys are, to me, I think they're desperate. I mean, they're handing play calling back to Mike McCarthy, Stephen A. Like, do you like that decision? This, to me, feels like a franchise that got embarrassed in the playoffs again and is just flailing for answers. But I also think this, the way this all played out with the mutual departure and Kellen Moore immediately announcing his job, seems kind of like he wanted to go to the Chargers. And I think we can all kind of see why.
Yeah, and Kate, what do you feel about that, Kate? What do you feel about that?
Well, look, man, when you start talking about why is he gone, and we talked about this earlier, Stephen A., there's a lot of different reasons to why things don't work with coordinators and head coaches in teams and offenses. If I'm a head coach and I ask you simply, give me your best play on third down, should we run this reverse right here? Should we do a flea flicker right here? And you tell me yes or you tell me no, and we're not aligned on the same thought process, and it goes wrong more times than it goes right, regardless to how great your offensive statistics has been over a course of time, you feel some type of way as a head coach. I've been around head coaches on the sideline, and I've watched one of my head coaches, famously Hall of Fame head coach, tell the offensive coordinator, bring your ass downstairs from the box, and I'll call the plays on the sideline, because he wasn't listening. He wasn't listening to what needed to be called, and our offense was prolific, but he wasn't calling it the way it needed to be called. So sometimes when you look at that on the Cowboys side, as well as on Brandon Staley's side, because their offense in I almost called him San Diego, in Los Angeles, certainly put points on the board. But like Mina said, they didn't take enough shots downfield. They went for it more times than not when they shouldn't have been going for it. But is that because Joe Lombardi was convincing the head coach we should do this? Or was it the head coach saying, I want to do this? And so now you got a butting of the heads. So sometimes we don't get this information because it's not out there in the public. But all in all, I do honestly think this is a Hail Mary in the air for Brandon Staley, much like it is for Mike McCarthy, to both try to salvage something and save their jobs. Because the one guy that's linked to both of these teams has yet to accept the head coaching job. And if it's available in the future, you just don't know.
Interesting. Interesting. Is this a better job, Keyshawn, real quick, for Kellen Moore to be the OC there than with Dallas?
I think so. Less pressure. It's less pressure because people like him. To my left, that guy, Stephen A.
Stephen.
Yeah, won't be harassing him nearly as much.
New York Times bestseller.
Yes, New York Times bestseller. What show is he on? The soap opera?
That General Hospital.
Yeah, General Hospital. The best on General Hospital.
NBA Countdown.
NBA Countdown on ABC.
Stephen A. versus the world.
On ABC, probably.
A lot of shows.
You know what's so sad?
I'm talking about you.
Keyshawn, we're actually complimenting him, and he couldn't hear us. That's so sad.
Check this out, y'all. Check this out, y'all. For the last two damn minutes, I didn't hear anything y'all said because my IB went out, and no one told y'all. No one.
I said you're great, is what I said.
We literally just kept complimenting
you. I really enjoyed these last 2 minutes.
I don't believe Keyshawn said that. I don't believe that.
Listen,
I believe he feels that way. He just never admitted it.
I said you're great.
He would never admit it to me.
They'll send you the sound. You'll get. And if they don't send you the sound, if they don't send you the sound, I'm sure somebody will hear that you didn't get the sound.
That's right. But I mean, if it's a compliment, I'm definitely gonna look that up. I'm gonna Google that.
You should Google
that. I don't get those from Keyshawn much. You know what I'm saying?
Stephen,
I don't get those.
Definitely Google it. Coming up next with a huge question mark. Let me know where you Google those things.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, The majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. Stop me if you heard this before. Aaron Rodgers' future with the Packers is in jeopardy. League sources telling Adam Schefter that an offseason trade of Rodgers remains an option, as sources believe the franchise prefers to move on from the former MVP quarterback. And the same sources says Rodgers is aware of the franchise's feelings. Another Bay Area great, Tom Brady, a free agent, if he decides he wants to continue his football career. So we've been talking about the quarterback situation in San Francisco. Both Trey Lance and Brock Purdy injured. Jimmy G not expected to be back. Let me just get back to the desk here. 1 second, please. Stephen Hayes, should the Niners pursue Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, who are both from the Bay Area?
Me personally, it would be Aaron Rodgers. We had a discussion about Tom Brady on two occasions early in the show that did not include a discussion about Aaron Rodgers. But if I want one or the other, it's Aaron Rodgers, because I think that Tom Brady is at the tail end of his career. Obviously, he's got a $375 million deal waiting for him in the booth. Of course, he wants to make amends for how things look to end this particular season. But I think we all know, and we've all seen enough evidence that says even though he's still better than half the quarterbacks in the National Football League, the bottom line is the end is near. In Aaron Rodgers, I don't view it that way. I view his situation as not being ideal. Obviously, he's not innocent in all of this. He's played a role in it. But nevertheless, the situation is not as tenable as it once was. And so I view it from the standpoint that Aaron Rodgers is still a bad brother. He can still get things done. And I still think he has plenty of years left in his game. I can see Aaron Rodgers around for the next 3 or 4 years in the right situation. And it doesn't get much better than San Francisco right now, who is a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl champion. And when you look at the roster that they have in place, you talk about Deebo Samuels, talk about Christian McCaffrey, you're talking about George Kittle, talk about the play caller to Kyle Shanahan, you're talking about a starting offensive line, you're talking about an elite defense, I'm talking about an Aaron Rodgers on that squad, you're talking about the San Francisco 49ers potentially winning two of the next three Super Bowls at the very least, if that brother is there with the personnel and the coaching that they have in place. I view it from that perspective. That's a long-term play. Obviously, you'd have to give up assets to get Aaron Rodgers, whereas you wouldn't have to do that to get Tom Brady. I do understand that, and I'm not getting into all of that. I'm only talking about the talent and the amount of time that talent would be available to you. Those two components right there is why I would lean more towards Rodgers than Brady.
Well, I'm going to get into it because I can see why Aaron Rodgers would want to play for San Francisco. I can see why San Francisco would want Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady. I don't disagree with anything, Stephen A. What I can't see is why the Green Bay Packers would go along with any of this because of the Trey Lance trade and because of the Christian McCaffrey trade. The Niners don't just have no first-round picks this year. They don't have second-round picks. There is zero chance the Green Bay Packers trade Aaron Rodgers for anything less than at least a first-round pick. I don't see them going along with this. I think this is a non-starter, as fun as it would be to imagine. And that's not even getting to the cap implications.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. As far as talent go, we all could agree it's Aaron Rodgers. But it's so much hair around the situation. Let's start off, not even what Mina said, let's just start off with the conference. This isn't a throwaway quarterback that we would move within the same conference. We're not going to do that. Why would we give you Aaron damn Rodgers? And you think Matt LaFleur, who's buddies with Kyle Shanahan, is going to be like, yeah, I want to help you win a Super Bowl before me. Not a chance. Then when you get into the money side of things, that's not going to happen, right? Then you get into the draft picks. There's no draft picks. There's nothing there. So in the end, talent-wise, yes, you would probably at this stage of his career rather have Aaron Rodgers than Tom Brady. No question about it. Molly, you mentioned earlier I had Tom Brady going to the New York Jets. Yeah. Well, I have Aaron Rodgers going to the New York Jets now.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this to both of y'all. The question was, you know, when you're talking about should the Niners pursue such and such, we get all of that. But you do have people out there who will look at a Tom Brady and they've looked at what apparent slippage they believe Aaron Rodgers has. Of course, y'all are absolutely right. We all know how impractical and implausible this is. It's not going to happen. We get all of that. But it's still worth the discussion only from the standpoint of talking about the two talents, where they are right now at this point in time in their career and what they bring to the table. Because you got some people that would say, no, Tom Brady because of talent. And I'd say no. It
and
would be Aaron Rodgers because of the talent.
Aaron Rodgers.
But I totally agree with you. Brady to San Francisco, Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets.
And who wins the Super Bowl if they face off?
Who?
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers with their new respective teams that we just laid out.
The Niners
and the Jets. I would go San Francisco all day, every day, because I think the San Francisco 49ers are a more complete team than the New York Jets.
I thought he's a bad man, and you're
But look at the personnel on the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I know that's hard for you to do, Molly, because you don't see that on the New York Giants. I understand that. But the bottom line is that if you look at the personnel on the San Francisco 49ers, it far exceeds that of the New York Jets offensively. Yeah. Not defensively, but offensively.
Mina, let me ask you. Mina, let me ask you. Who do you think? Because I'm confused on this one. Who do you think would win a Super Bowl?
Who would I rather have?
No, who would win a Super Bowl?
Oh, no, I'm in complete agreement with Stephen A. Smith. Brock Purdy had the Niners on the precipice of going to the Super Bowl. You don't think going from Purdy to Tom Brady would put this unbelievably stacked and well-coached roster over the edge? Like Stephen A., I do think Rodgers at this point in his career has more in the tank, but the Jets just aren't close to San Francisco when it comes to pedigree and that depth chart. They are such a good football team.
Yeah, I guess I just look at the Jets as a young, up-and-coming team, and if you insert and inject Aaron Rodgers
into
the quarterback situation, what would it be? I mean, like, you know, what would it be?
Well, all of a sudden, I feel you. It wouldn't be San Francisco. How about what it wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be San Francisco.
The
Garrett Wilson does not equal Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, and George Kittle. And IU. How about that?
Do we honestly know that, though?
Yes!
I don't know that.
I don't know that. You know what? Something wrong with you sometimes.
So let me ask you a question.
You know better.
Is Breece Hall any good?
Who?
Breece Hall, the running back.
He can ball. Yes.
Okay, hold on. Is Garrett Wilson any good?
Keyshawn, you're comparing Breece Hall to Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, Jordan. Like, come on, man. Like, you know better.
Come on.
I've been on young teams that ascended to a whole nother level like that. All I'm saying is, you get a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, things change.
Yeah.
You know, they change.
Who would be reunited in this hypothetical with Nathaniel Hackett? On one hand, you got Kyle Shanahan. Like, what are we doing here?
Listen, I don't know what the hell is going on with Keyshawn someday. I mean, just niceness and looking at the glass half full. I don't know if he's going to therapy, sitting there watching Dr. Phil, hanging out with Molly and Mina too damn much. I don't know what the hell is going on with Keyshawn Johnson. You trying to tell me that Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson measures up to Debo, Christian McCaffrey, Ayuk, and George Kittle? What is wrong with you? What's going on? We need to talk.
So now I'm going to play the athlete card. If you put Aaron Rodgers with a dude like Garrett Wilson go crazy, man.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean they're better than San Francisco 49ers.
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I don't know.
Keith. You don't know? You're supposed to know.
You didn't know about Philadelphia either.
Come on, Keyshawn.
You didn't know about Philly at the beginning of the year either, so don't sit up here on your show acting like you knew Philly was getting ready to run shop.
I knew Dallas wasn't. I knew that.
We're not talking about Dallas, though.
Well, you brought up Philly. What you bring up Philly for? We were talking about the Jets of San Francisco. You brought up Philly, but I can't bring up Dallas.
Thank you.
Are we ever not talking about Dallas?
No, we're done. Keyshawn, I got one question for you, though. Aaron Rodgers. I already know the answer. Aaron Rodgers, high-rise Manhattan or brownstone in Brooklyn?
Oh, he's going to be in Jersey. That's where they practice at.
No, Brooklyn all day. Coming up next.
Oh, no, yeah.
Too,
oh,
congested.
No, as far
too much
as
congestion
goes,
in Brooklyn.
No, Brooklyn,
Brooklyn
yeah,
all
sure.
day. That
the
dumb
beer,
area.
The whole deal.
The, you know the, it. Come on.
The incense.
Too
the
damn congested.
The relaxing.
Aaron Rodgers don't want to be in no damn traffic jam on
no,
Atlantic Avenue.
Don't
in Brooklyn.
Needs,
stop it.
He needs to be in Brooklyn. That's the
stop
vibe.
It.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. We got our Super Bowl matchup. That'll be the Eagles and the Chiefs with the two newest teams checking in on flights to Cabo. Do so with questions about their rosters and how to improve for next year. Who will be quarterback in San Francisco? And will the Bengals get more protection for Joe Burrow? We've got the coach, Herm Edwards, with those answers. All right, coach, talk to me. Which team has the better shot, sir, to get to the Super Bowl next year? Would you go Bengals or Niners?
Oh, it's San Francisco. There's no question, especially when they get Tom Brady as their quarterback. So, yeah, it's San Francisco. They're set to make a run for the next couple years. They're a young football team. When you think about how they play, the type of football they play, it travels well. You know, running the ball and playing good defense. They just need a quarterback now that will play in the system. And Tom Brady is that guy.
Sound like Herm might know something, but
yeah, you know. sounded pretty definitive, Coach.
Well, you know, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. I mean, Herm Edwards. I mean, San Francisco's in Northern California, and contrary to what Coach wants people to believe, he spends an awful lot of his time in Southern California. Smart choice, by the way. Very, very smart choice. I would know. I'm here. Here's the deal, y'all. When you look at it from this perspective, I'm thinking the Bengals. It's not about San Francisco and what they have. They got to go out and get that quarterback. In the case of the Bengals, they've been knocking on the door. They win the Super Bowl last year. They win the AFC Championship game this year. The path of resistance to me is less in the AFC than it arguably is in the NFC. Of course, we can't dismiss Buffalo and Miami. We got to pay attention to the Ravens. We get all of that. But I think that when we can see this coming down yet again next year to Kansas City and Cincinnati, we can see that happening. When you look in the NFC, certainly we might think it's the Eagles and the 49ers. But the reality is we can't summarily dismiss the Cowboys. If Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay, we can't summarily dismiss that. And so I look at that from that standpoint, along with I'm going to throw the Vikings in there and stuff like that.
I just look at the NFC. Stop.
I don't think the Vikings don't have a great defense. I know that. I'm just talking about at the end of the day, I really think the AFC could come down to Cincinnati and Kansas City.
The AFC is a much stronger conference than the NFC, Stephen, eh? Come on,
but I think those two are above.
We're out of time. All I know is Herm said when the Niners get Tom Brady, not if. Bye, guys.